Good morning. Today is Friday, August the 28th. Joining us this morning is Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing okay. You too, huh?
Yeah. Here in my wheelchair, doing okay.
All right. That's. I'm a little bit more vertical than you and kind of have the same attitude. So what can we say? All right. Have you ever heard of this phrase? If not, then we'll move on. Needle. Where do we get the expression, give him the needle?
Give him the needle?
Yeah, does that... is that something you're familiar with? I'm not.
Well, I mean, poking and prying and pushing and looking for advantage and making somebody angry. And if you can get somebody angry, then you can have some power over them.
Kind of, sort of. The term comes from a tailor's practical joke. When a group of tailors are sitting around a table side by side, one tailor will take his needle and slyly jab another in the rear. The startled reaction of the victim of this practical joke is considered by many to be very funny. To me, it would sound more painful than funny, but anyway, then maybe that's why we haven't heard of it, huh?
Whatever you say.
Yeah, yeah. I thought today with the activities that are going on with the hurricane, the virus, all that kind of stuff, is how do we deal with, or how should we deal healthily with, the concept of the uncontrollable, the unknown, the things that are out of our ability to do anything about. Natural phenomenon certainly are that. There are those that get frustrated, and there are those that kind of go with the flow. What's the secret to not getting too overly concerned about things?
Well, first of all, you got to take care of yourself, psychologically and physically. With the forest fires, for example, you got to have a evacuation plan. And it's useful to have these plans in advance, so you don't get surprised. But the personal plans have to do with what you believe in.
So
if you believe in taking care of yourself, you have to hunker down. Like a pandemic, for example, there are lots of people who refuse to wear masks because they think it's a front to their personal freedom. But the bigger picture is taking care of everybody around you. So that has to do with the value system of what you believe is important. Taking care of yourself psychologically means having a look at your values, having a look at your survival system, what to do. And one of the difficulties with home sequestering is people get on each other's nerves. So you have to get some psychological space even in sequestering. And that means, for example, Lucy said something and I said something and she said no, and I said, all right, I'll leave it alone. So I left it alone. And it slowly went away. But in a sequestered situation, some people are inclined to fight for control, and that's a bad bargain.
Well, and there are certain things that I think everybody agrees. I mean, how do you fight for control with an earthquake? A flood, maybe you can prepare a little bit, but this hurricane that that hit Louisiana is now causing problems and challenges. You got to believe that layered on top of the shelter in place and the virus stuff and all those different things, it's gonna be very difficult for some people to be able to deal with psychologically.
Right. And that has to do with planning ahead as well in terms of emotional reactions. And a lot of people don't think about that, but instead they react. And when they react, then they're left with their own feelings and their own panic. So control of a situation like that doesn't mean you can control the flooding in Louisiana, but you need to have a plan about what to do about survival, first of all. One of the worst tidal floods, you know, 20 feet of water coming in offshore. So lots of people don't think about getting out in time. And if they get out in time, they get out with what they have on them. And sometimes that means their entire home is flooded, or flooded away, or destroyed, or erased. So starting over again is a terrible thing to think about. Where do you go? How do you live? What do you do for income, food, clean water? So a lot of people have go bags, or they have supplies in their car, disaster, earthquake, flood, and some people don't. And so if they don't, then they depend on others for food, clothing, shelter. If they don't get out in time, then they're left on the top of their house on the roof looking for a helicopter. That's the worst case, of course.
That's why we'll talk about that when we come back. At yesterday, we talked with Paul Kraft, who's from Louisiana. He's currently with the CHP, and his mom lives in Lake Charles. So we'll talk about some of the comments that he had when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and
good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby, dealing with, or learning how, perhaps, to deal with some uncontrollables. Lou, yesterday morning, Paul Kraft was on, and he checked in with his sister, and the first question, or first comment, rather, that his sister had, who lives in that area, was, well, Mom didn't have to get up on the roof. And I thought, you know, in hindsight, and spent a little time with Paul after the show, that everybody has their normal procedures, or what they perceive as a normal procedure, where they are concerned about an earthquake, and, oh, my God, how can you live where there are earthquakes? I'm looking at that and thinking, you got to story and a half of mud and critters coming through your house, and who in their right mind would want to be there? But he was saying it's kind of part of the culture, and that culturally there's support, as well as this is a known process, and you just go through the steps when this kind of thing happens. And that kind of, as a backdrop, leads to my question. If there's familiarity, then perhaps there's not the unknown, and maybe that takes away some of that anxiety.
Or the panic, yeah. The floodplains of Mississippi have been known for decades, and people get washed out, and they go right back and rebuild. And some generations do that over and over again. It's their home. It's what they know. It's what they like. It's where they live. And they just suck it up and go back and rebuild. So that has to do with the familiarity you're talking about.
Well, and I guess maybe you do have a plan, even if the plan is do what we did last time.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a monumental plan.
They know what's coming. They know what they have to do. And then they do it.
Yeah. I had asked the question, and Paul just kind of smiled. The concept of a hurricane party. to me is bizarre. But I know it's a cultural thing, and I know that there are people that have it and they enjoy it, and that's part of getting through.
Right.
I suppose that kind of is some of what you've been alluding to also. You know, what does it take to get through, and how do we normalize this event as much as we can?
Right. And so one of the advantages of a hurricane party is we're all in this together, and they can normalize that experience with the howling winds and the rest of it with food, some wine, and being together in the same circumstance. So there's the sheltering together, which gives some sense of security until the hurricane passes.
Now, with that mentality, there's also a siege mentality, where you still got people together, and it's still a common experience, but it's not necessarily a positive one. I mean, think of Katrina. Same kind of a situation presented itself. The outcome was significantly different, and that siege mentality kind of kicked in. So how do you delineate or distinguish or avoid going down one trail instead of the other?
Well, siege mentality has to do with maintaining your resources and the physical resources to hang on to in a hurricane. You have no control over unless you have food, clothing, shelter in some kind of sustainable situation. So a hurricane party has got to be held in a place that is secure, first of all. Then you have to have some food and water resources to keep you going through the hurricane. So the siege mentality has to do with hunkering down and living through it as best you can. So when people get together for a, quote, party, unquote, they do it with the best of intentions in mind of getting through this together, minimizing the effect of the disaster as best they can.
Rather than being out there kind of swinging by yourself, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, there's a situation, I thought it was kind of intriguing, kind of the unanticipated, uncontrollable. There was a shooting of a police officer in Lincoln, Nebraska, two days ago. Stefan was within two blocks of that.
Oh,
kind of interesting, and then, you know, the chase, and he was kind of, he was not involved, but he was in the periphery of that also.
Yeah.
Very calm, very cool. Hey, no big deal. Don't worry about it, Dad. Okay. Now, part of that could be the age, you know, being in your 20s and still kind of being semi-invincible, but very, very much matter of fact about it. And I thought that's almost refreshing, but it's also concerning at the same time.
If you're on the periphery and you're safe, then you can afford to be casual about it, but if you're right next door to the guy getting shot, that's a whole different issue.
So it's a proximity thing as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you bet. That's, big time.
Yeah, but, go ahead.
Security is the first issue, and if you're on the periphery, then you can afford to take a look and see attitude while maintaining your distance.
Rather than having to bob and weave and duck and roll kind of stuff.
Right. Which then generates the fear and the panic and the safety concerns.
Certainly there are, yeah, particularly when you're on the other end of the telephone.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, not quite so calm, not quite so sure. Oh, boy. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk shop presented this morning and every morning by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and by Murphy's Markets. Lou, the thought of these anticipated, or you know that things are arriving, situations, you know, the siege mentalities, the hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, things of that nature, significantly different than what we get to experience here with an earthquake of a significant magnitude, where it's kind of by surprise, you know it's coming, but it's not time bound.
Right.
Same principles apply, or because of the surprise nature of it, does that kind of put a different spin into it?
It depends on what you know. The Cascadia Fault off the coast of Oregon and Washington is able to trigger the San Andreas Fault due to the tectonics beneath it. And we're in the time zone now for that to happen every so many thousand years. And we're in the last thousand-year period now. So if you know that, how do you prepare for it? Well, food, water, a safe place to shelter. If your house falls apart on top of you, then you got to go away. But how many people have plans on where to go?
So again, it boils back down to kind of being logical about what to expect?
Yeah. But then where to go? That means having a car with a full tank of gas. Years ago, I knew a guy who always filled up his car when he was half full. He didn't wait for it to go down to near empty. He always kept his car at least half full. So he always had enough gas for a getaway of some sort. Well, not everybody does that.
Yeah, make sure it's the car, it's the vehicle that has the better gas mileage.
Well, I don't know about gas mileage, but if you don't have enough gas in your tank,
well, so you can go far enough if you need to, you know, wherever far enough is
right.
Kind of what the thought was, yeah. Now, I guess those rolling outages are something in between the two, or the fires. You know, I mean, we kind of know what's going to happen. Not really sure the magnitude of it is a little bit less than
right.
What it might some of these other examples have been. What is the distinction between a significant event and one that's either a minor or more of a nuisance? It's still the smaller impacts still tend to trigger some emotional responses by some people that is on par with a major event. Is that just not able to kind of compartmentalize?
Well, part of that depends on what you've lived through. You and I are old enough to have lived through many of the North Coast earthquakes, small, medium, and large. And we haven't had, for example, like a big tsunami scare here for a long time. If a tsunami scare occurs here, you know, lots of Eureka is lowland. So people are going to go to the highlands. And what's the highland around here? Neyland. Can you imagine the Neyland Road being crowded with bumper-to-bumper traffic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you throw in a good dose of emotion also. And that's one component, I think, that a lot of folks overlook or don't anticipate is, okay, we can practice, we can get things together, we can have our plan, but then you throw in a good solid dose of adrenaline.
Yeah.
Things kind of get a little confusing at that point.
They do indeed, because adrenaline is a fight or flight or frozen. Some people fight, some people flee, and some people just get panic struck and they freeze in place and they don't know what to do or where to go or how to go or anything. They just freeze. And maybe one of the most dangerous.
So,
shelter in place during a pandemic has a lot of resources available to people. You know, money is given to people, rent control, mortgage deferment. So people can stay in place and live a reasonably normal life for as long as it lasts. But a pandemic lasts for decades, the effects of it. You look at the 1916, 17, 18, 19 pandemic, and it had three lobes. And it would come and quiet down, then it would come again in spades, and then it would quiet down and come again. And that's what Fauci's worried about, is the next surge of the pandemic. And then that's complicated by people who don't like to wear masks. You look at the South Dakota motorcycle.
So the Sturgis rally?
Look at the Sturgis. And then you look at, you know, all those people go back to sometimes 40 or 50 states without their masks. And it's looking like another surge in some of those places. Well, can you imagine getting 20,000 motorcyclists to wear masks in Sturgis? Not a chance.
Yeah, that would be a group photo that I'm not sure we'd be able to do anything other than Photoshop in.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of adrenaline, is that something that, not concept, I guess the physical reaction to adrenaline, that complicates things sometimes and is a life-saving in other times. Is there a way to manage that, to use that productively? Or is it something that if you're familiar with a situation and familiar enough with it, that the adrenaline may not necessarily kick in to the same extent and allows for both the emotion and logic parts of the mind to function?
Well, that's true. Adrenaline is a physiological response generated by the brain. And it has, and the bigger adrenaline response has to do with the bigger threat. But if you have some scale of what is a small threat, a big threat. So if you're walking along and all of a sudden a pit bull comes out and snarls at you, you're going to have an adrenaline response, whether you like it or not, because that's physiological and emotional response for survival. And if you have a little tremor where it shakes the house a little bit, you may get a small adrenaline response. And because you're used to small responses, you can kind of shake it off, and then you breathe heavily for a little bit, and then it goes away. But a big emotional adrenaline response can be incapacitating if you don't have any experience with what to do with it. So that's why it's important to have a plan about what to do. The first one is health and safety. You got to be able to get yourself into a safe situation. If you've got a pit bull coming at you, what are you going to do?
So, can you practice adrenaline rushes?
You can practice drills in your head about what to do if something happens. If you're rushed by a pit bull, what are your options?
Right. Well, I'm kind of thinking about, there are those that are referred to as adrenaline junkies. You know, they ride the roller coasters. They like frightening movies. The surprises. Is that something, are they better suited in this kind of a situation to be able to handle and process the adrenaline, or are they just like everybody else?
Well, most adrenaline junkies do it on purpose. Adrenaline junkies don't wait for an earthquake to happen or a flood to happen. Most adrenaline junkies have social activities like to do skydiving, scuba diving, motorcycles. They do it on purpose. So they're able to manage their rate of excitement. And then they can balance that a lot better than those of us that don't ride motorcycles, do scuba diving or skydiving.
Is there the equivalent of an immunity to adrenaline? If it's something that you're exposed to, or you have that happen over and over and over, is it like some other body reactions to chemicals that it takes more to get to that same spot?
Well, you can get used to it. And when you get used to it, like in motorcycle racing, for example, you can get used to using the adrenaline rush for advantage. It gives you extra power. The difficulty is if the adrenaline rush exceeds your capacity to use reason, then you get hurt because you go too far.
Yeah, that sounds like the topic of another show. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Okie dokie. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Lou. See everybody on Monday.